Good afternoon, Bill. I got a couple questions here. I just wanted to start on the Jets, and I was curious what your thoughts are or what your thoughts have been on just the competition against them the last 6 years, you know, going up against Rex Ryan and his team, sort of what your thoughts are specific to Rex and that competition for you.
Well, we have a lot of respect for the Jets. And they're a good football team. We had a real competitive game with them earlier in the year. And I'm not really that concerned about what happened 5, 10, 15 years ago. I'm more concerned about this matchup this week. And, you know, they played another tight, tough game last week and beat the Titans at the end. They've been in a lot of close games, won some, lost some. We were in one with them. I'm expecting a tough 60-minute battle.
And just curious, I know it's not necessarily about the coaches, but what has it been like for you just competing against him and his teams and his schemes? How much have you enjoyed that aspect of it, the competition?
I mean, every week we have challenges. Every team has good players, good coaches, and tough matchups. This is the Jets.
Good afternoon, Bill. I was just wondering what you've seen from the Jets running game, Chris Johnson and everybody else on the Jets running attack and how they've been used this year.
Well, they used a lot of guys. They've got a lot of good runners. Ivory probably runs as hard as any player we've played against recently. Johnson's got a lot of skill. Smith, hurt us running in the first game. Is a good runner. He's a very athletic guy. Can scramble in a passing game. They run a bunch of reverses. Curley, obviously Harvin. So they use a lot of people in their running game that make you defend, from sideline to sideline, as well as the inside power type games and some read option plays. They have a very extensive and diverse running game. We're going to really have to. This will probably be the most volume of running game schemes and run game issues that they create that we've had in quite a while, certainly all year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Afternoon, Coach. How are you?
Hi,
Coach. Hey, Coach, piggybacking on what Mike was asking you, I was looking at the game and wanted to ask you about the Wildcat. Johnson had that long run at the end of the toward the end of the game, set up their winning touchdown. I don't know if it's a winning touchdown, but I know it. I believe it started out up here with Coach Lee and Ronnie Brown. But is that the single wing modern version? And also the other part of it was, apropos the Jets, when they put Geno on the as a wide receiver, does that present other complications in defending it?
Well, I think the Wildcat is like a lot of things defensively. You have to be ready for it every week. Wildcat, unbalanced line, empty formation. All those different type of things.
Right.
If the team's shown them, they've shown them. But if they haven't shown them, there's always a possibility that they could put something like that together and as a game plan thing. So, we always have to be ready for those type of things. The Wildcat with the quarterback extended is, definitely, I would say, a version of the old single wing type of scheme type of offense. It just presents another, but it's no different than a running quarterback. If you have a running quarterback in the backfield like Tannehill. Tannehill's back there with a running back and him. Well, when he either gives the ball or fakes it to the back, and then he, either keeps it around the end or boots it and doesn't have the ball, you still have to defend that. So in the Wildcat, whether you split the guy out or whether you do like what Miami did and take the quarterback out after he hands the ball, you have to have somebody to account for that guy, and it just creates another gap for you on the defensive line. That's the problem, is you run out of guys, or you don't have the player that you would normally have. If he wasn't assigned to the quarterback, you no longer have that player because you have to commit somebody to the quarterback. So it changes your numbers and some of your run defensive fits and reads, again, depending on what coverage you're in or what type of defense you're in. But like, that's the problems that it creates, and that's why teams use it. But however you do that with the quarterback, whether you boot him and pass it like the Shanahan offenses did. They were so, famous and productive for in Denver with the stretch play and then the boot. You have to have somebody to contain that guy, or the read option concept or the wildcat concept. They're all ways to try to take one guy out of the defensive front and force you to account for either the quarterback coming out of the backfield or him already be extended out, and then you have one less player in the box than your normal running game fits. So
got it. Yep.
That's what they're trying to
got
do.
It. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Sure. Yep.
Hi, Bill. Just wanted to ask you about Percy Harvin. He wasn't part of the Jets, obviously, when you guys played them the first time. I'm just wondering how you've seen the Jets use him and if he's changed anything that they do offensively.
I think he's definitely, he is a weapon, and they've used him as a weapon. They've handed him the ball a number of times. He's certainly a threat as a receiver, so he can, go down the field and get behind the defense. He can carry the ball on outside plays like reverses and speed sweeps and things like that. And he's also, very dangerous on catch and run plays like under routes and slip screens and those type of things. They move him around in different spots, so you don't know exactly where he's going to be. Sometimes he's detached, sometimes he's in the backfield. It's obviously a problem in kickoff returns. He's a player that, we know will be utilized somehow in their game plan. We've got to have an awareness of where he is, and they've been creative in getting him the ball in different ways and trying to just get him into space and give him a chance to get started. He's an explosive and very dynamic player, so that'll be a big big challenge for us to mentally make sure that we don't make a mistake on what we're doing, and then just playing whatever play they run properly and doing a good job with our leverage and our tackling on not only him, but really all the other skill players. I mean, they have those backs, and they got a lot of guys that are hard to tackle that make yards on their own.
So I'm curious your opinion on Brandon Browner. He's obviously brought a lot to the defense with the physical play. At the same time, I think he's been called for a team-high 15 penalties, some of them close calls, maybe others not so much. I'm just sort of curious your view on that from the perspective of, based on his style of play, is there a little more tolerance for the higher penalty count, or is that maybe more of a concern, the high number?
Well, penalties have been an issue for us all year as a team. We've had a lot of penalties, more than we want, way more than we want, and we're trying to decrease that number and the frequency. So certainly not there yet, but we continue to make it a priority and address it and work to reduce them. I think there's definitely been some progress, but we're not there yet, and that goes for everybody. It's everybody's responsibility to play penalty free in their area, whether it's the coaches on, you know, play calling and substitution and things like that, or whether it's the individual players based on their techniques and you know, whatever the situation is that they're in, offense, defense, special teams, but whatever happens to be is to play penalty free. So that always has been an emphasis point for us, and it'll continue to be one for everybody.